Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Buenos dias, mi familia. Good to see you this morning. Everybody online, good morning. We're so glad that you're with us. Hey, online family, if I haven't heard from you in a while, please, you probably got my cell phone number. Give me a text. Let me know how you're doing this morning. Miss you, thinking about you. Church family, today we get to celebrate the King, and his presence is certainly with us. I'm going to invite you to stand as we read again the scripture that declares that there is good news for all of us. I want to encourage you, as you read this with me this morning, I want to encourage you, when we get to those places where the angel is saying that there is a gospel, there is a good news for us, I want to just ask you, invite the Holy Spirit to show you the good news that you need this morning. So would you read together with me? Everybody online, feel free to follow along. Say it out loud as a family as well. Here we go. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Let's all pray together. So, Lord Jesus, now, bring good news to us. Bring good news that's not just a little helpful. Cause great joy in us. And Lord, not just for us, for all people this morning. You are good news. Lord, wherever we've been, whatever it's taken to get here this morning, now help our minds be at rest and focused on what you want to say to us. And we say, have your way in us this morning. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, if you've got a couch mate, or you're sitting next to one, or look across the way and repeat after me to somebody nearby, here you go. Cheer up. You're about to hear good news. It's good. Thank you for doing that awkward thing this morning. It's great. I don't know the last time you've really felt like you've heard good news, all right? In the middle of the pandemic, in the middle of politics, in the middle of economies, in the middle of just about everything you're going through, when's the last time you've heard good news? And let me ask you this. When you heard good news, was that good news for somebody else or was that bad news for them? When's the last time you've heard good news for all people? You know, again, my heart has been so burdened that this is a season where many people are struggling with their mental health right now, where they're struggling with the circumstances that they're seeing. And when we get to the Christmas story, we cannot turn it into the TV shows and the pop Christian songs secular songs. It's got to be the true revelation of what Christmas is supposed to be, the birth of hope that never ends. Of love that is always with us. I don't know. I mean, it's easy to say, yeah, you know, good news. I'm just hoping I'll hear some good news about what's going on in work or things. Or maybe your good news is you're hoping that gift you want for Christmas. Like, oh, I'm getting it. Good news. Someone's getting it for me. All right, well, let me tell you what. There is a gift this Christmas that your heart and soul are dying to get. And the good news is someone got it for you. Someone already got it for you. And that's what this is about. It's about good news for all people. We use this word, good news. It's the word we ended up saying in English as the gospel. It's euangelion is the Greek. And literally, the angel, when he says, fear not, behold, I bring you the gospel of great joy that will be for all people. You and I use this word gospel, and it comes to think of the first four books of the New Testament, or this idea of just telling people about Christianity. But this word, euangelion, this word, the gospel, when the angel says, fear not, I've got the gospel for you. That was something that wasn't a first-time word for everybody who listened. You know, that's not, the gospel is not a Christian word. This word was not a word that was just for religious people. It was actually a term, it was actually a political term. Like if I say White House to you, all right, there are like lots of houses that are white. But you know when I say White House, the term means something political. It means something very specific in society. Well, this word, euangelion, this word that we say the gospel, the good news, it wasn't the good news, as in just generic white, a White House around. It was a political term that was actually something that when everybody heard it, it was this major announcement. It wasn't a personal thing. It was a public term. In Roman times, we talked about the Roman world that Jesus was born in. In Roman times, when I said the gospel, it meant the good news of the arrival of a king who would bring a new era of peace and prosperity. A matter of fact, you remember this guy last week? Caesar Augustus, you remember that king? Well, a few years before Jesus was born, just a few, that word gospel was actually used to describe Augustus coming into power. A matter of fact, in 9 BC, just a few years before Jesus was born, there was a city that created a statue in honor of Augustus, and this is what they inscribed on this, and we have this to this day. It says, Providence, the goddess Providence, has set our lives in the most perfect order by giving us Augustus, that he might benefit humankind, sending him as a savior, that he might end war and arrange all things, since by his birth, the beginning of the gospel for the world has come. You see, in the Roman world, when you said gospel, it was this idea of like a new administration coming. It was like, hey, good news, there's a new king on the throne, and he's going to bring us peace, he's going to cause wars to end, he's going to prosper us like we always hoped to. This was the term that the angel used. Hey, there's a new king, and he's about to bring in an era of peace like you've never known. Now, it wasn't just a secular term. The Jews, for hundreds of years, had used this same term. And we go to the Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint, the Old Testament translated to Greek. This word is used a ton of times, 700 years before Jesus was born, in the book of Isaiah. See, in the Jewish world, when you said the gospel, when you said that word, euangelion, it went that the good news was not just any king, but the Messiah, Christ, would come and bring not just an era of peace, but it would be eternal peace and prosperity by defeating all of their enemies who oppressed them and who ruled over them. Because remember, the Jewish history had a lot to do with being in exile. They were conquered, and now they were far from where God wanted them to be. And they were dreaming of the day that the Messiah would come. They were dreaming of the gospel coming, telling them they get to go back home. They get to be victorious over everybody who's defeated them. And so in Isaiah 40, when it's talking about the Messiah coming, it uses the term gospel. Go up high on a mountain, O Zion, herald of the gospel, the good news. Lift your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of the gospel. Lift it up, fear not. Sound familiar? Fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might. And that might had political connotations. He's coming to take over again. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. Hey, good news. The king's coming. And all your struggles and all the things you could never All the hardship and the oppression, it's about to end. Over and over, Isaiah uses this term gospel. In Isaiah 52, you probably know this verse. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings the gospel. The news that our oppression is over, that the Messiah has come, who proclaims peace without end, who brings good tidings, who proclaims salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Not just a religious, theological talk. We're talking literally in the White House. We're talking literally on the throne, whatever nation or realm you're talking about. God is on the throne. The King has come. So when the angel, and don't forget who he says it to, it's a bunch of shepherds, night shift, putting in the hours. Hey, I'm bringing you the good news that for 700 years you heard about, but you never knew. You know, you were waiting for it to come. Hey, the whole world, whether you're Jewish or Gentile, whether you're religious or not, I've got good news about who has finally come. And it's of great joy, and it's for all people. And I want to tell you this morning, the reason why we celebrate Christmas is a reminder that that good news is still real right now. It's as real right now in this moment. Whether you're watching online, whether you're here today, whether you're going to watch this later, there is good news for where you and I are at. Because oppression can end today. It doesn't have to last now. You've got good news. Now, here's the interesting thing about the gospel. Because maybe we know of Christianity, maybe you've grown up in a religious setting, or maybe you feel like you don't understand religion, there's an ability to confuse what the gospel is. So let's just talk about that. And literally, we're just going to finish by adoring him and welcoming this gospel into us. Here's the first. The gospel is not good advice. It's good news, not good advice. Good news is about something that has what? Already happened. But how many of us treat the gospel and our faith like it's good advice? Like, hey, here's how to get better. Here's how to just kind of, you know, here are the things you need to do. You know, my dad, he knows how to fix about everything. And I love some good advice, but you know what I love better than good advice about how to fix it? When dad comes over and fixes it for me. That's what I really like. That's good news. All right? I'm glad for the good advice, but what I really like is some good news. That something has happened, not something I have to do. And the Christian faith is not believe and then know how to do it and then you'll be saved. The good news is believe and you're saved, and now that you're saved and delivered, now you can learn how to obey. That's the good news. It's good news, not good advice. It's good news about what's happened in the scripture. Probably the most accurate translation of like, well, what has happened to me? I mean, the scripture talks about again and again is this idea that it's really a good adoption, that you and I have been adopted into God's family. That's what has happened. And now that we are in his family, our past is no longer what defines us. And what we had before we were in the family was not defines us. Now we are in his family. That is what has happened to us. And now everything is different. That's where real freedom comes from, is being in his family. The scripture says it in Ephesians 1. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus. What's that word right there? The King. Through Jesus the King. So we praise God for the grace, for the glorious grace. I'm not just in any family. I'm in the family of the King. He has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom. We're free in his family with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. Hey, everybody online today, together. Do you know the good news? Or are you treating Christianity like good advice? Because I'm telling you, the good advice doesn't work. There are times my dad tells me how to fix something. Well, that's nice that you told me how to fix it, Dad. Can I do it? No. I need good news. I need something that has happened to me, not something I need to do. That's the gospel. It's already happened. Just receive it. And what I love is that the gospel is not just good advice, but it's also not an announcement about good circumstances. Have you checked where the king was born? I mean, it's kind of the equivalent of your dog's water dish. That's where he was born. This king and this gospel has nothing to do with good circumstances. You don't need good circumstances to live in good news. Now this flips everything on its head right here. Right? The shepherds come and they worship the risen king, and they do what next? They go back to work. You know, it's possible for your circumstances not to change, but your situation to be radically different. Sometimes circumstances don't change, but am I in a different situation? Absolutely. Because there is something, and well, I hope that the Holy Spirit will show us this as I'm sharing, but there is something more powerful than circumstances. And here's an interesting thought. You know what? If your peace depends on your circumstances, that's bad news. Because last time I checked, you can't control those things. So that means your peace is up and down with a world that's in chaos. That's bad news if you need good circumstances to have peace. That's bad news. You know what good news is? I've got something greater than circumstances that's giving me peace. Wow. That's good news. That's something that can transform. That turns everything on its head in my life. What is it? Well, it's interesting because Luke talks about it all the time. It's one of the themes. He talks about the Spirit at least 35 times just in the Gospel of Luke. You know what is better than circumstances? The right Spirit. The people who wondered concerning John the Baptist whether he might be the Christ, he answered them saying, I baptize you with water, but he, the Christ, who is mightier than I, is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will not just give you circumstances, he's going to give you his Spirit. And that's greater than any circumstance you could ever be a part of. Come on, you and I have seen this all the time. Two people, same tough circumstances, very different outcomes. Why? Circumstances were the same. Because there's something more than circumstance. There's the Spirit a person is in when they're facing the circumstance. Tough marriage problems, two couples. Everybody's got dirt. Everybody's got to deal with being people in marriage. One marriage this way, one marriage restored and whole and now actually loves each other more. What's the difference? It's the Spirit. Two people, dead-end job, day after day, just trying to make it work. Yet one person still has life and is thriving. The other person just finding the wrong thing to escape to. And that, what's the difference? It's the Spirit. See, there's something so much more than circumstances. It's called the Spirit of God. And I want you to think about this because the gospel actually says this is so true. This isn't like a nuance of the gospel message. This is so the core of it that the greatest good news moment on the earth was the cross. The most nightmare circumstance created the greatest peace and victory for all men and women. I love this. N.T. Wright talks about this in one of his books. He says, Jesus of Nazareth went to his death believing that this gruesome circumstance would be the ultimate good news moment. The cross was a climax and a tipping point of the gospel for all humanity. As the early Christians looked back with hindsight on resurrection, they came to see Jesus' crucifixion not as a defeat, but as the ultimate victory. There, Jesus gave his undefeated and undefiled spirit to the Father to pour out onto us. And now, nothing can ever conquer us again. Man, someone's got to say amen. Like, that's who we are. It's not the circumstance. As a matter of fact, in the gospel, when we suffer the most, the greatest glory of God can be seen. It's all upside down. There is a new beginning. There is a new administration. There is a new rule and reign. And it is good news that says, I'm not giving you advice today. Hey, get better, suck it up, deal with it, stop it, do whatever. It's not that. It's, I've done this for you. And as you enter in, there's not a circumstance you'll ever face that is greater than what I've given you. King David gets on the throne. What does he do? He gives gifts. King Solomon is inaugurated. What does he do? He gives gifts. When Jesus ascends into heaven and officially takes his spot, what does he do to all of us? He gives us the gift of the Spirit. He says, never be defeated again. I love it. Romans 8, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead. By the way, I thought I'd point that out for you in the verse. If it dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead, Jesus Christ, from Christ Jesus from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Christmas is the gospel of a new king who will give the greatest gift. And I'm telling you what, you may not know it because of the world you're in, but your soul wants this gift. Your heart wants this gift. It wants the gift of the Spirit to come in. Christianity is not a message, hey, good advice, and then God will like you and not think you're bad anymore. It's like gospel is incredible, mind-blowing news. It's already happened. Step into it, and in it receive the gift that literally causes you to live in another kingdom in all the mess of this earth. I love it. The day of Pentecost, Peter's talking to the same crowd that probably yelled, crucify him. And he says, repent and be baptized. And if you haven't taken that step of water baptism, man, join the movement of what God is doing at Cornerstone. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the, what's this word here? You're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. You don't have to start out religious. You don't have to be Jewish to get to Jesus. Wherever you are, start there and just listen for his call. And so we're going to wrap up this morning by just doing that, by just saying, Lord Jesus, would you fill me this morning? Because I'm telling you what, there's nothing wrong with praying for a new circumstance. But what you need to pray for more is a new spirit. Because God's Spirit in you can overcome anything. Anything. And so here we are. This is a prayer you can pray today. Dear King Jesus, today I repent and believe the good news of your kingdom, that you have already died for me and been raised again so that I may be forgiven, freed in your family, and filled with your Spirit that is greater than any of my circumstances. I repent of my old beliefs, and I surrender all I am to you. I ask for the gift of your Holy Spirit in me today. Man, as I'm just saying that, if you're even half open, you should start feeling in the depths of your soul a cry. Oh, man. Lord, I want to be here. I want to be here with you. So I'm just going to ask you, to stand right now where you are, church family at home. Would you just let God make a holy place where you are? And we're going to read this out loud together. this morning. If you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or if you have and it's just time to renew it, as you read this, I mean, the Lord knows your heart this morning. Just ask Him. Just ask Him this morning. Lord, fill me fresh and forgive me of my sin. God, there's no such thing as freedom by yourself. You got to come into God's family. And in that family, the King tells everybody who tries to attack you, get away from him. He's ours. That's what happens. That's freedom in family. I don't know how long your week's been. I don't know if your circumstances encouraged you or discouraged you this week. But I'm telling you what right now. You know, another word for angel is messenger, okay? Now, I'm not an angel, but I am a messenger this morning. I'm telling you, there's good news for right where you are. There's good news right where you are. But this stops being about the guy speaking. Now it's all about heaven speaking to you. So I'm going to ask you, would you just close off for a minute with the Lord? And just, you know, just graciously, even if you got to get a little space from the people around you, just say, okay, Lord, here I am. I need the gospel. I don't need good advice because I don't have the power. I need good news. I can't change my circumstances. I don't know how that's going to work out with what you're going to do, but I need something. I need a gift greater than my circumstances. I need the Spirit. Let's take this moment, even though our hearts are bowed. Let's take this moment. Look up on the screen with me. Let's say this together. Let's say this now. Dear King Jesus, today I repent and believe the good news of your kingdom, that you have already died for me and have been raised again so that I may be forgiven, freed in your family, and filled with your Spirit that is greater than any of my circumstances. I repent of my old beliefs and surrender all I am to you. I ask for the gift of your Holy Spirit in me today. Praise your holy name. As you're hearing this declaration, all of hell wants to close you down to it this morning. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that every lie of the enemy, any spiritual evil that wants to come, any darkness that wants to flood over a mind or a heart, right now would be broken in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I pray that we wouldn't hear from a person this morning, but we would hear from heaven. Fear not. Fear not. I bring you good news of great joy for every person, including you. For today, for the first time or yet again, in the area that is darkest or most discouraging you, a Savior can be born. And He is the King of heaven, and of His peace there is no end. If you want that gift of the Holy Spirit this morning, if you want something greater than the circumstances you're in, I'm just going to ask you right now, at home, just ask the Lord here in the sanctuary, would you just lift your hands to the Lord? Humble yourself before God. Fill us, O Lord. Fill us, O God. Come on, you can say it if you're comfortable enough, but just let your whole being say it. Lord, I want, I need, I long for the Spirit. Give me the gospel fresh and anew in my life. Lord, good news. Not advice, good news this morning. Lord, for every attitude I face, for every pattern I'm in, Lord, give me a greater power. For every personality I have to face, give me a greater power, oh God. Lord, don't let the darkness of this nation, of this society, begin to fall upon me, but lift me in the light of Jesus this morning. Give me a spirit, give me a power, give me a gift greater than circumstances. Praise your holy name. Let's just worship for a moment. Let's worship.